Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with my old friend in hockey, Bruce McCurdy.
Hey, David.
How you doing, Bruce?
A little schizophrenic, I think, after such a horrible game on Sunday night and that game tonight where everything went right, and it's hard to believe it was the same team out there that put out that stinker against Colorado just 48 hours ago.
Yeah, well,
that's all.
Nonetheless, it was the Oilers had 16 grade A scoring chances to 7 for Montreal. Wow. So it was a totally dominant performance. What a no-name group of Montreal players. I hardly knew any of them. So Bruce, we're going to do the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast for the game. Mm-hmm. What is your good thing?
Well, I'm going to throw kudos in a rare direction and possibly even a couple of bouquets in the general direction of head coach Todd McClellan, who shook up his lineup in a few ways tonight, and every manner that he did change things up, it paid off. And you and I are two of the million or so people out in oil country who question basically every decision the coach ever makes, whoever the coach is. And we've had plenty to question these past couple seasons. But man, everything he did tonight just came smelling like roses. I mean, he put Draisaitl and McDavid back together, which is a move highly criticized by many. And all they did was combine for three even strength goals, where each guy scored a point on each of those goals. And that was the tip of the iceberg. Man, oh man, I mean, Draisaitl could have had 5 goals in this game without a whole lot of imagination being applied. And that recombination of those two deadly shooters, and you know, for all of his merits, RNH has not been finishing. He only has 3 goals after a 17-game trial on McDavid's line, and so something needed to switch up. And switching Nuge out and Draisaitl up. I mean, Draisaitl was the shooter that's been missing off of that left wing, I think, to this point in the season. For his part, Nuge went down on the second line. All he did was A, play a very fine game at center, and B, score a critical goal that basically put the Oilers on cruise control down the stretch. So that was the changes up front. On the back end, he switched out his second and third defense pairings, moving Benning up, Russell down, bringing Gravel in. And all that happened there was the second and third pairing between them scored 3, count them, 3 goals in the game. This for a team that had 3 goals from the defense corps all season before tonight. Now they have 6, thanks to Nurse, Benning, and Russell, who all scored. And add to that Benning, Russell, and Gravel each had an assist, and that's a tidy 6 points from the second and third defense pairing. So that paid off. And then finally, his decision, which to me was a no-brainer, to put Mikko Koskinen in net. And sure enough, he got a good, solid game. Not a great game, but a solid game of net minding with no real bad ones, I didn't think. And he was just calm and good between the pipes. And so that move paid off as well. So basically,
I thought he might have had the first one, Bruce.
Maybe. Like
on the angle there. That was a B chance. He should have had that, I thought.
It was a great shot, but it was a little bit of a low angle, and he must have lost his post a tiny bit.
He did. Yeah. Other than that, I've been as critical of McClellan as anybody, and I don't like seeing McDavid and Draisaitl together, but man, they dominated the game tonight, and it's not that I don't want them to be together because they're not good together. They are really good together. Mm-hmm. It's more in terms of balancing the team and getting the most out of the team that I make that objection. But when they are, and of course last year when they were together, they didn't dominate like they had that first season together. But when they are together and they're playing well, mm-hmm. they are a sight to behold. Last year when they weren't playing well together, if we're completely fair, might have had to do with McDavid being ill in that part of the year. And now that he's healthy, and flying, maybe Draisaitl and McDavid can dominate. Like, if you're going to have them together, like, you actually absolutely need them to dominate. Mm-hmm. Because you're not necessarily going to get a lot of offense from the rest of the lineup. So, Bruce, my good thing was the Montreal goalie. Niemi, now, even though...
He was good some of the time.
16, and I'm saying he's a good thing because he, in many ways, as much as he kept Montreal in the game, he lost them the game because he let in one grade C shot, that one from Benning that goes in off him, and at least two grade B shots. Nugent Hopkins' goal was an outside shot, and I have Kajula's shot was an outside shot. And then,
Russell's too, really, although that one was a screenshot.
Yeah, screen and deflected, so I counted that as a grade A. There was a couple things that made that quite a difficult shot in the end. But if you let in two grade B shots and one grade C shot in a game, your team's going to lose.
Pretty much, for sure.
Yeah. So the Oilers won the goaltending battle, and they won the game, and that's the modern NHL. Maybe it's always been the NHL. So, Bruce, what's your bad thing?
Well, it's hard to single anything out, but I'm going to go with Tobias Reeder, who did struggle in the little bit of the game that he played, 5 minutes barely. And the early part of the game, the new line of Nuge with Reeder and Chiasson, Draisaitl's former line mates, they really struggled to get the puck going in the right direction. And, in fact, Edmonton was outshot 6-0 during Reeder's 5 minutes. But by far the badder thing of the bad thing is the fact that he got hurt early in the second period. I looked at the play again. It was a pretty innocuous-looking hit right by the bench just as he was going off. But it looked like the one where a guy could have jammed his wrist. And I had to go back and look later because there was nothing to it at the time. But that's my guess. They're saying upper body, and they're not giving any details. But Reeder has been a pretty useful and versatile forward for Edmonton to this point. So if they were to lose him for any length of time, well, that would be a bad thing.
I don't really have a bad thing either. I'm just going to go with Koskinen and miss it. Like, we had talked about this, and I'm changing it up, Bruce, from what we talked about before. I'm going with Koskinen missing so it was the first scoring chance game by Montreal, and he let it in. So, again, this horrible trend continues.
On the glove side, and I'm going, I thought we took Talbot out.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with that, even though he played a good game after that. Mm-hmm. I really like him in net. I've said this before, and I don't think I'm seeing things. I think the other teams get a little freaked by that big guy in net, and they start they start missing the net. They start getting a little fine, or they just freak and shoot it right at him. Montreal shot another number of hard shots right at the guy. It's hard to shoot it. I can't imagine it. I've never shot at a goalie that huge, but it must be just utterly imposing to try to find. Even see some mesh when you're looking at the net, to see past him and see any mesh at all mm-hmm. when he's in net. And he also he's looked confident.
It's very calm, isn't
in net and calm and confident. And I just feel so much, maybe it's because he's playing so well, but I feel better about the team when he's in net. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the team feels, but that's how I feel as a fan. I feel like, oh, we got a goalie here. And Talbot hasn't given that kind of confidence many games this year.
Well, the Oilers have won six games in regulation now, and two of those wins came in Talbot's 13 starts, and the other four came in Koskinen's 5 starts. So you tell me who should be starting the next game.
Well, it better be Koskinen.
100%.
Yeah. What's your number?
I'm going to give a little bit of love to the defense, the 6-man defense corps. Just because they all tilted the ice or all contributed to the ice tilting in the Oilers' favor. Here are their Corsi 4 percentage. Let's choose that one. And this is just shot attempts for and against and the percentage of those, with 50 being a break even, of course. Adam Larson, 58%. Oscar Klefbom, 58%. Darnell Nurse, 62%. Matt Benning, 63%. Chris Russell, 59%. Kevin Gravel, 59%. The whole bunch of them are all crammed in a very small, tight area around 60%, which is excellent. And so there was no defense pair that got caved. There was no defense pair that had to be sheltered because of the realignment. I thought the Russell-Gravel pair was really strong for a third pairing. They had an excellent game. And they had all three pairs had more good moments than bad ones. There was a few chaotic moments, but, I mean, it's hockey. There usually are. But overall, the newly realigned defense core, including the inserted Kevin Gravel, good numbers.
My numbers, Bruce, are 10 and 7. 10 is the number of major contributions to grade A scoring chances that Connor McDavid made in that game. Ooh. And he's been averaging, I think it's about 4 a game.
He's been kind of in the...
And he's been slumping. Do you think he didn't just maybe one last game? Yeah. One major contribution to a grade A chance, so 10. He was absolutely flying, and he was obviously inspired, I think, being put back on the line with Draisaitl. I think those guys like that.
Partly, and I think he was just pumping himself up. I heard he took a lot of extra reps after practice yesterday, and then he did something he doesn't usually do, which is take the optional game day skate. And I thought, well, as long as he doesn't – and apparently he was just 100 miles an hour during that. And as long as he doesn't leave it all out there on the practice ice, sounds like he's just dialing it back up, which is something he needed to do. Mm-hmm. But he followed through in the game with some great moments.
He was fantastic. And the number 7 refers to the number of grade A scoring chance shots that Leon Draisaitl had in that game. And it became almost, almost comic that he wasn't.
Had one goal and two assists. The poor guy was shaking his head on the bench, and he had a 3-point night under his belt.
Yeah, and he can be so pouty.
He could have had so well. I think he gets a bad rap for that.
Anyway, well, he is pouty though.
He could have had 5 goals without really stretching your imagination one bit tonight. I mean, he hit the post twice in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He was flat out robbed by Niemi on at least two plays, including one where Niemi got a glove on it, and then it hit the post for a third time. And then, of course, there was the one that he buried. And then I think the other one was sort of 2 close-in shots right in a row. I think it was late in the game. And the first one in particular, that could have gone in as well. And another excellent save by Niemi, who was alternately terrific and terrible with not a lot in between. What a weird game he had.
All right, Bruce. Well, you're writing the game grades tonight, so let's leave it there so you can get to work. And
I am indeed.
Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for winning, Oilers. And thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.